Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the second episode of Forbidden Thoughts. In this episode, I will be discussing important information to remember about credit cards and a few saving tips. Based on recent feedback, I did decide to make the second episode a continuation of a specific topic I touched based on in the first episode. Let's get into it. First and foremost, I want to start by letting you guys know that when it comes to credit cards, always read the card member agreement. I can't stress this enough. The card member agreement is basically the contract between you and your credit card issuing bank. Just like terms and conditions, there is a lot, and I can't stress this enough, a lot of hidden gems of information that could help you understand how your credit card works and save you from accruing additional fees in the future. In the card member agreement, you have access to what your APR is, what the late fees would be if you happen to be late, what the cash advance fee is if you decide to take out cash on a card or cash advance, if you decide to do a balance transfer, it also has a balance transfer fee and wire transfer fees. And those fees are important to know about because in some cases, if you take out a cash advance or balance transfer or wire transfer, basically you will start to accrue interest and it won't be the same type of interest you accrue on your regular purchases or charges on your credit card. Now, depending on that bank, your APR, of course, and whatever that fee may be on top of whatever you take out as far as cash, wire transfer, or balance transfer, it will defer. So that's why it's very important to read the card member agreement, because the card member agreement has like a chart and it basically breaks down how it works. So you basically will know beforehand. Usually the card member agreement, you have access to that prior to applying for the credit card. You also have access to it after you apply for the credit card and when you are approved. When you are approved and they send you your card in the mail, there should be the little packet and it will have the details of the card member agreement, the same one you should have read when you first apply. In some cases, your card may assess a foreign transaction fee, which you should definitely be aware of. Your card member agreement will definitely disclose whether or not you have one, just like it would with any other fee. And basically with the foreign transaction fee, if you decide to take your credit card internationally or if you're traveling abroad, the foreign transaction fee is in a percentage of the amount that you spend on each purchase while you're traveling internationally. This also includes internet sites that you shop on that may be based outside of the United States, such as, for example, when I went shopping for my birthday outfit. My birthday outfit was from a company that's based in the United Kingdom. So I didn't use a credit card for that. But let's say I did use a credit card for that outfit, then I would be charged an additional fee on top of that. Not all credit cards have a foreign transaction fee. So if you are someone that frequently travels internationally or shops online for like wholesale retailers like in China, then you definitely would want to, when you're applying, looking for credit cards that don't have one. And basically on websites for credit cards, it will let you know, just like in the card member agreement, you'll know as well. I would not advise taking out a cash advance or withdrawing cash from a credit card. Because a credit card is not your own money, you will be charged a cash advance fee. And depending on your bank, there will probably be interest that you'll be charged for taking out that cash. The same goes for Western Union, MoneyGram, Cash App, Zelle, any type of app that does any type of money transfer or exchanging of funds from a financial institution to another financial institution, wire transfers, those all charge an additional fee from your issuing bank. Although Western Union, MoneyGram do charge their own separate fee, that's through them. And then your actual issuing bank charges their separate fee. So you have to keep in mind when doing that. I would advise only in severe situations would it be best to take out cash. If not, take out cash from your own debit checking account before resorting to doing it with a credit card. If you have two or more credit cards and one of the credit cards have an outstanding balance that is accruing interest, it would be best to contact the bank for the other credit card to see if they would allow you to do a balance transfer. A balance transfer basically allows you to transfer funds from one credit card to the other to pay it off. And while you're transferring the funds, the amount that you transfer on the credit card that you're transferring it from would have a 0% APR for a certain period of time, so you can pay it down on that card while you're paying off the outstanding balance on another card. And that helps a lot of people in some cases. Not all banks do this, not all credit cards do this, but it wouldn't hurt to ask and find out if you could do this. That would alleviate a lot of debt and outstanding balances on your accounts, and it could help alleviate your credit report or your credit score if it's getting impacted by outstanding balance or a bunch of interest being accrued. And that concludes the credit card portion of today's episode. If you have any questions or need me to elaborate a little bit more, anything that I covered so far, please feel free to hit me up on social media. I'll be more than happy to go over any additional information for you. I did want to share a few tips on how to save money, especially for those who are living paycheck to paycheck. It's definitely hard sometimes because you may feel overwhelmed with bills and you feel like, oh my goodness, I just paid my bills this check, and then the next check you're paying another set of bills. It's fine. There's a way to save money where you can still have money for spending on leisure, paying your bills, and having that extra cushion money in your savings. My first tip would be whatever money you have left over from the previous paycheck, put that in your savings. It will help you. It will add up over time. It don't matter how much it is. It could be $25, $100, $200, $300. Whatever you have left over, you can just put that in your savings. And trust me, over time, or even at the end of the year, you'll have plenty of money in your savings. My second tip for saving money would be to set aside a fixed amount of money that you would prefer to save every day. For example, if you're able to save $10 a day for 1 year, that would be $3,650 in your savings account at the end of the year. If you decide to save $25 per day for 1 year, then you will have $9,125 in your savings account at the end of the year. And if you decide to save $50 every day for 1 whole year, you would have $18,250 in your savings account at the end of the year. So you can decide how much you want to save. It don't have to be the amounts I said, of course. You know your money, you know your pockets. But just keep in mind, a little each day goes a long way, especially if you do it consistently for a whole year. You'll definitely reach your goal. And even if you want to do it for a shorter term, you want to do it for 6 months or 4 months, whatever the case may be, you definitely could get pretty far with saving some money each day. And maybe you don't want to do a fixed amount. That's fine. You could do between a certain amount, so $10 to $15 a day, or even $5 to $10 a day. That will start to add up. Or you can increase it. So like, the first day, $5, the second day, $10, the third day, $20, and so on and so on and so on. That also helps. It may be helpful for those who get paid weekly or those who are servers and bartenders, because usually each night you're coming home with cash. Even strippers, you know, they get cash every night. So that may be a little bit easier. If you have a job where you're getting paid every 2 weeks and you're getting it by a physical check or direct deposit, you can still do the same thing based on whatever money you already have in your account. So just keep that in mind. That is a really helpful tip. I know someone that did that, and she's getting a fat transfer done at the end of the year. It helped her save money for the surgery. So that's something you could do. My third and final tip for saving money for today's episode would be, please avoid unnecessary spending. Unnecessary spending would be things that you don't need to spend money on, but you're spending because you have the money available, or you saw an ad or a coupon or discount, and at that time it captured your eye. For example, you would not even be thinking about buying a brand new TV, but you heard that Walmart was selling a brand new TV for $250 instead of $400. So in your head, you're thinking, wow, that's a great deal. I saved $150 on this brand new TV. In essence, no. You're not saving $150 on a brand new TV. You're actually still spending money. You're spending $250. Saving money on a brand new TV is not spending money at all. And that's just a wild example because I don't even think Walmart would ever have a deal where you'll get $150 off of a $400 TV. But you get the point. Another way to avoid unnecessary spending is after you pay your bills, set aside money for some of the necessities that you need, regardless, because those necessities is still a priority. For me personally, those necessities would be food, since you do need food to nourish your body, and for energy. Also, gas. You're always going to need gas in your car to get to and from work, and body products and hygiene products are definitely a necessity. When you run out of those body products, if you feel like while you're saving money, the body products that you typically purchase cost too much money, then you can also go to the dollar store and buy those same or some of the same body products, and you'll save money that way. Well, when you get your mail, you get a lot of those coupons in the mail. Save and clip those coupons and bring them to like your grocery store, your favorite grocery store, and buy those and stock up on them as well so that you don't run out as fast or quicker than normal. So those are just a few tips that I do have on how to save money. Of course, I have a lot more tips, but those are the three main ones that I did want to share for this episode. If you made it to this part of the episode, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Also, thank you guys for sharing my very first podcast episode and for the positive feedback. If you have any questions, any suggestions, anything you want to discuss, please hit me up. Feel free to reach out to me. You can follow me on Instagram at just.jazz, and that's just.jazz. Also, you can follow my blog on Instagram at astoldby.blog and on Twitter and Facebook at astoldbyblog. Thank you so much again for tuning in. See you next episode. Bye.